Birdwatcher's Guide to Mexico. Mexico, a natural aviary. There are more bird forms in Mexico than in the United States and Canada combined. About 1,000 distinct species, plus a multitude of geographic races of those species, representing 89 families of the approximately 9,000 known species in the world, are to be found at one time or another in this land of astonishing geographic and climatic diversity. This includes the migrants that come down from the north, of which there are some 200 species, such as our old friends the herons, geese, ducks, plover, sandpipers, gulls, terns, flycatchers, swallows, warblers, orioles, tanagers, finches, buntings, sparrows, and others, some of whose members are also endemic to Mexico. Much scarcer, but still more interesting, is the occasional visitor from South America during the Patagonia winter. In all probability, most of these are the offshore petrels and shearwaters, which also reach California in numbers. The only land bird thus far identified is the Patagonian race of the blue and white swallow in Chiapas. An even more surprising migration is that of several kinds of birds which, after nesting in Mexico's benign tropics, migrate in later summer to South America, a long and perilous flight hardly necessitated by the rigours of the present-day Mexican climate. These include certain flycatchers, swallows, and the yellow-green vireo, among others. Some swifts probably also migrate to South America. Larger birds include kites and certain cuckoos and nightjars. Birds have inhabited Mexico in great variety for a long time. Their fossilized remains have been found in several parts of the Republic. In fact, there are probably more bird bones, chiefly 30,000 or 40,000 years old, in the Valley of Mexico than in any other place within tropical latitudes. These show that the valley had a great population of fish, small islands where water birds nested in quantity, predators and scavengers to reap their share of this wealth of life. Many of these prehistoric birds probably vanished before the Aztecs arrived, retreating northward or dying out when volcanic eruptions covered the Great Lakes with ash. Moctezuma, emperor of the Aztecs at the time of the Spanish conquest in 1519, maintained an aviary of considerable size and variety. Bernal Diaz de Castillo, in The Discovery and Conquest of Mexico, describes the wonder of it. Though King Philip II of Spain sent his personal physician, Francisco Hernandez, to make a survey of the natural wonders of New Spain, the Spaniards did little to make the rich bird life of the country known to science. But upon Mexico's achieving independence in 1821, English and German explorers were able to enter and soon sent home good collections. A few Mexicans began to collect birds for foreign museums. Frenchmen were active in the mid-19th century in eastern and southern Mexico, and some Americans worked in the north and west. Thus, by 1860, the great majority of Mexican species had been described. But numerous local geographic varieties or subspecies, and a few new species, turned up later, a process that can be expected to continue for some years to come in this varied mountainous land. A large part of Mexico's topography consists of a triangular plateau flanked by high mountains, its wide base at the border with the United States, and narrowing to a point south of Oaxaca, generally above 5,000 feet. This land tends to be dry, except along the streams and rivers, and many birds of southwestern United States are to be found in the northern part. The wooded slopes of the flanking eastern and western mountains go down abruptly to the Atlantic and Pacific coastal plains. Tropical birds inhabit these more humid, wet woodlands. The northern coastal plains, both eastern and western, including Baja California, are generally arid, and the familiar birds of the southwest are found there also. In the southern region of the Atlantic coastal plain, and on into the southern and eastern portion of the Yucatan Peninsula, are humid lowland forests, sheltering a great number of tropical birds. This is equally true of the southern Pacific foothills, and down into the state of Chiapas, where the humidity is high and the vegetation luxuriant. As far as birds are concerned, the various areas are not strictly defined. birds tend to follow their food supply, and there is overlapping. But these rather arbitrary area lines are helpful in giving a general idea of what birds one may expect in each region. Aids in identification. Because often, entranced by a new bird song or blinded, so to speak, by the beauty of a bird that is new to me, I have neglected to note important identifying features. I am listing some reminders which I hope will be useful. Size. Is the bird small, like a hummingbird or warbler, or large, like a heron or vulture, or just where in between? Form. Has the bird a long or short tail, forked, rounded or pointed? Is it slim or chunky, long or short? Is the bill long, short, thick or pointed? Colour. Is it brilliant or dull? Is it striped, barred or vari-coloured? And if so, what are the colours? What is the colour of the bill? Note especially the exact pattern and colours of the face, the side of the head. Voice. Is it a trill, whistle, rattle, warble or buzz? Is it short, prolonged, loud or lisping? A resting characteristic. What about the bird did you notice first? Vivid colour? Stripes over or through the eyes? Spots on wings or tail? Patches on rump or breast? A crest? Some odd mannerism? Habits. Is the flight undulating, soaring, swooping, darting out from a perch, or does the bird tend to sit quietly? Does it walk, hop or run, climb trees, keep near the ground or conceal itself in high branches? Does it travel in flocks? Does it live on the shore or in a marsh, in arid brush or forests? Is it tame or furtive?